Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 8. Shariram yada vapnoti,
Shariram yada vapnoti,
yaschapi kramatishvara,
yaschapi kramatishvara,
grihit vaitani samyati,
grihit vaitani samyati,
vayur gandham ivashayat,
vayur gandham ivashayat,
shariram yada vapnoti,
shariram yada vapnoti,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
grihit vaitani samyati,
grihit vaitani samyati,
vayur gandham ivasayat,
vayur gandham ivasayat,
shariram yada vapnoti,
shariram yada vapnoti,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
grihit vaitani samyati,
grihit vaitani samyati,
vayur gandham ivashayat,
vayur gandham ivashayat,
shariram yad avapnoti,
shariram yad avapnoti,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
grihe
vaitani samyati,
shariram yad avapnoti, yaschapi ukramateshvara,
yaschapi ukramateshvara,
grihe vaitani samyati,
grihe vaitani samyati,
vayur gandham ivasayat,
vayur gandham ivasayat,
shariram yad avapnoti,
shariram yad avapnoti,
yaschapi
ukramateshvara, grihe vaitani samyati,
vayur gandham ivasaya.
Marriages.
Shariram yad avapnoti,
shariram yad avapnoti,
yaschapi
ukramateshvara, vayur gandham ivasaya, shariram yad avapnoti, yaschapi ukramateshvara, grihe vaitani samyati, vayur gandham ivasaya, shariram yad avapnoti, yaschapi ukramateshvara, grihe vaitani samyati, vayur gandham ivasaya, shariram yad avapnoti, yaschapi ukramateshvara, grihe vaitani samyati, vayur gandham ivasaya,
Shariram, the body.
Yat,
as.
Avapnoti,
gets.
Yat,
as. Chaapi,
also.
Ukramam,
ukramati,
gives up.
Ishvara,
the Lord of the body. Grihitva,
taking.
Etani,
all these.
Samyati,
goes away.
Vayu,
the air.
Gandan,
smell.
Eva,
like.
Ashayat,
from their source.
Translation: the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Please repeat. The living entity in this material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas.
Thus he takes one kind of body
and again quits it to take another.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigration from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called Karshati, or struggle for existence. Om Agyana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sokrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsya Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha
Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so we're reading from the 15th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna began this chapter by describing about the banyan tree, because 14th chapter was describing three modes of material nature. So Lord Krishna went on to give the analogy of the banyan tree and how, just like a tree reflecting on water, the branches are down and the roots are up. So this material world is a reflection of the real world. And then Lord Krishna went on to describe something about the spiritual world, that there is another world which doesn't need sun or moon to be illuminated. And he said also, well, those who go there won't come back. So after explaining that, then the previous verse, which you studied last week, Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manashastani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. Prabhupada used this word Karshati in the purport which we read this evening, Karshati, struggling. That the living entities, although we can go to the spiritual world, still we're fragmental parts of the Lord. One in quality, different in quantity. Like sparks and the fire. The Supreme Lord is like the fire, and we are the sparks of the fire. Depending on our situation, depending on our association, we are affected in different ways. The spark, if it falls into water, will be extinguished. If it falls on damp grass, then it may take some time before it can be become fire. But if it falls on dry grass, then it can ignite some flame, some heat in the dry grass. So like that, the same way the living entity, according to his situation in this world, he is affected. He's struggling, Karshati, struggling very hard due to conditioned life, struggling with the senses and the mind. So this is the nature of conditioned life, a struggle for existence. And we're hearing this evening about the law of transmigration, how the living entity moves from one body to another. Krishna gives another example for us. He says, just as the air carries aroma, so the living entity carries different conceptions of life from one body to another. Fresh air. We talk about fresh air, you know, nice fresh air. Maybe you go to the beach or something, you may get some, you know, salty air, you know, the influence of the sea. And if you're beside some flower garden, then you may be able to detect the aroma of the flowers, the fragrant flowers. The scent is carried in the air. But if the same air passes over some garbage pile, some place of waste disposal, then it will carry a very obnoxious and foul aroma. It's the same air, but it's affected by different situations. In the same way, the living entity, all of us, are pure souls. We're all pure sparks of the Supreme. We're all Brahman by nature. Yes, we are pure spirit souls. But in association with material nature, we become affected. Prabhupada gives some examples
people become attached to pets, like dogs. We see everywhere in the world, even nowadays, I was seeing in China, for many years I never saw dogs in China, because China was initially poor. You know, 20 years ago, they did not have much wealth, and people were not allowed to keep dogs, because there was always a danger of rabies, and if rabies spread, then it's very difficult to cure, and people can die. It's very expensive for injections if someone is bitten by a dog. So there was a law against people having dogs. But in the recent times, with the economic development in China, I see now people also have that habit. People with a little wealth have pet dogs, and they carry the dog. So they become attached to these animals like dogs. Prabhupada describes here, there is higher and lower life. And people can choose what kind of level they will like to go. Of course, not everyone thinks that the dog life is low life. Some people think dog life is very nice. When Prabhupada was speaking in the West to the young people in America, he was telling them about dog life, how the dog is a miserable species of life and it is condemned. And another young man argued that, what's wrong with the dog? The dogs are very nice. They're very good fun. What is the harm to become a dog? So Prabhupada said, then you have my blessings. If you want to be the dog, it's their choice. People are attracted. There was an interview with one of the royal family from England, and they had asked the young woman who was a princess, if she had not been a princess, what would she like to have been? She thought, well, I think it would be very nice to be a porpoise and swim in the sea, and you know, the jump up and down like this and play with balls. And she thought, yeah, that's a very nice. If I had not been a princess, I could be a porpoise in the sea. So, you know, people don't understand how these forms of life are actually punishments inflicted on the living entities. Someone asked me the other day, do animals get karma? I said, the animal body is the result of their karma. They're placed into that species of life as a result of their misdeeds, as a result of their acting against the laws of nature. According to their own desires, they're put into these different species of life, lower species of life. The business of the animals is simply eating and sleeping and mating and defending. And here we are in the human form of life. And if our business is only eating, sleeping, mating and defending, then we are two-legged animals. Dvipada Pashu. The business is the same. The dog is running on four legs and we are running on four wheels. But the same business. Where is food? Where is sleep? It's just the same mentality. Dog mentality. So, human life is actually meant for thoughtfulness. Atato Brahma Jitna. I can use this, very relevant to use this phrase, because today also we are celebrating the Vyasa Puja, the appearance day of a spiritual master in this ISKCON society, His Divine Grace Bhakti Swarup Damodara Goswami, or Sripad Maharaj, as he is affectionately known. So Sripad Maharaj was a disciple and a very intimate disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had great love for Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, very, very affectionate to him. And Sripad Maharaj founded the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which was a scientific branch of the Krishna consciousness movement for presenting Krishna consciousness to scientists and scholars throughout the world. So he used this phrase Atato Brahma Jignasa as a monogram for the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So this Atato Brahma Jignasa is the beginning of Vedanta Sutra. Atato meaning now. Why now? Because now we have the human body. In this human form of life, only we can understand Brahma Jignasa. What is matter and what is spirit? This is actual knowledge. Knowledge is presented in the last part of the Bhagavad Gita here. The third section of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is presenting knowledge. What is this knowledge? There is Kshetra, Kshetrapya. Kshetra meaning the field. This body is a field. And Kshetrapya, the knower of the field. There are two knowers of the field. There is the individual living entity, the Jivatma, and there is the Supreme Lord, the Paramatma. Kshetrajna. There are two knowers within this body. This is knowledge. To have knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of the field. We should understand this body and the knower within this body. Both the knowers, the soul and the super soul. This is real knowledge. Unfortunately, we don't get this knowledge in colleges or universities. You know, we have some prestigious universities here in Singapore, but they're not teaching anything about the soul. They're not teaching that kind of knowledge. They give Nobel Prizes, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Sripad Maharaj used to meet so many Nobel Prize winners. He was such an expert preacher that he could meet such the biggest scientists, the most famous people in the world, and he could present Krishna consciousness to them. He could become their friend. They developed great love for him. This was Prabhupada's dream. Prabhupada wanted Krishna consciousness given to even these scientists and philosophers, who are often atheists and agnostics, have no real belief. We see how people like Stephen Hawking in England is a big atheist, and he's writing so many books all against any religious principles and against the idea that there could be a God. So Prabhupada understood that in this Kali Yuga, these scientists, these so-called scientists, these people who are have such big names, they're almost like brahmanas in the Vedic times. Because just as the brahmanas would guide society, the brahmanas like the head in the social body, and the brahmana would give instruction to the kshatriya kings and tell the kshatriyas how to rule and manage. So in the modern times, there's no brahmanas. Everyone listens to the scientists. What are the scientists saying? And we're accepting what we hear from science. So Prabhupada understood how we were very influenced by scientific thought. You know, scientific thought, Darwin theory. Our ancestors were the apes. And we have evolved from the apes. You know, this is Darwin theory, the theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory, all of this atheistic propaganda. You know, we hear all of this stuff and people accept it. The mass of people all believe it. So Prabhupada wanted that we would have some devotees who could go and preach in the scientific field and scientifically present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. just like transmigration. Are taking birth, giving up one body and taking another body. It is a science. Who can understand it? People do not know. They never even thought about it. They simply think the time of death, everything is finished. Prabhupada heard this. One time Prabhupada went to Moscow. And he was in Moscow, he went to the Asian Studies Department and he met the professor there. And the professor said, Swamiji, at the time of death, everything is finished. Now this man was a professor of Asian Studies. So Prabhupada understood, what is the mentality of these scholars, big professors and scientists, that they're so influenced by atheism. So we have to present this knowledge in a scientific manner.
So when His Holiness, when Swarup Damodar Maharaj, when he got his PhD, Prabhupada was so happy. Prabhupada was so pleased. He was telling all the devotees, Swarup Damodar has got his PhD, he is Dr. Damodar now. He was appreciating that, how wonderful it was. Actually, this Swarup Damodar Maharaj, originally he was studying for his PhD in USA and he'd gone to Los Angeles and met Prabhupada there. And very early on, Prabhupada had appreciated his, you know, that Swarup Damodar was coming from a Vaishnava background and from Manipur, where there's Vedic culture, where there's a lot of interest in Vedic culture. It is said that one of Arjuna's wives was from there, and even today we see the Manipuri drummers come and perform their arts. Rasalila dancing is also very popular there. So Prabhupada took help from Swarup Damodar Maharaja, and he requested him to write something about the scientific basis of Krishna consciousness. And at that time, a small booklet was published while Prabhupada was still on the planet. In about 1975, they published a small booklet on the scientific basis of Krishna consciousness. And we used to distribute it on Sankirtan regularly. It's very informative, very nice little booklet which Sripad Maharaj wrote. No other devotee ever had a book published in Prabhupada's presence. But Prabhupada wanted that book published. And we used to distribute. It was such an honor for Swarup Damodar or Sripad Maharaj. Prabhupada appreciated it so much. So, this scientific preaching, it is not an easy field. We know there are four classes of people who never surrendered to Krishna. Namam duskatina mudha prapadyante naradama. Maya aparita jnanam asuram bhavam ashrita. So scientists are in the category of maya aparita jnanam and asuram bhavam ashrita. This one whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and the atheist. This is very typical of scientific thought. If they do have any appreciation of the Vedas, it is maya aparita jnanam, knowledge stolen by illusion. They simply understand the Vedas by their own speculation. So we have to understand this knowledge scientifically. There's the law of transmigration. The law is that the subtle body determines the future gross body. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chachati anti kalevaram tam tam ivaiti konteya sadata bhava bhavita. Whatever we're remembering at the time of death, that will be our destination, our body in the next life. If we are thinking of our dog at the end of life, next life you become dog. And if we're thinking of Krishna, antakale chamameva smaranmukva kalevaram, one who can remember me at the end of life, then he will come to me, Krishna says. So, this is the science of transmigration.
It is determined by our mind, the conception. What is our mind absorbed in? We have to practice controlling the mind, fixing the mind on the Supreme Lord Krishna. Devotional service is not just simply using our senses, but we must also engage the mind in remembering Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu Vishmartavya najatu krit
Sarve vidhi nishira shor hita yore vakinkara.
Always remember Vishnu or Krishna and never forget him. This is the essence of all the Vedas. So we have to develop this control over the mind, using the mind, making the mind a friend, bringing it to Krishna. From whatever the mind wanders, we have to bring it back. Bring it back to Krishna. Keeping the mind fixed on Krishna. Maharaj Ambarish is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. His devotional activities are glorified. How he used all of his different senses in the service of Krishna. But the very first thing he did was Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayora. He fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he used all of his different senses in the service of Krishna. Lochandas Thakur has also written very nicely, famous song devotees like to sing. Bhaja Hari Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindure. Engage our mind in worshipping the lotus feet of the son of Nanda Maharaj. In this way we will become fearless. So devotional service requires that we will constantly think of Krishna. Not just simply think of Krishna as his form, but thinking of Krishna's service. How to serve Krishna. That is the most pleasing thing to Krishna. When we try to do some service, offer some service for Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us different ways how we can serve. Chanting his name, offering leaf, flower, fruit, water, offering our obeisances to him, worshipping him. But then in the 18th chapter, then he describes one way in which we can become very dear to him, and that is by preaching devotional service, by preaching the message of Krishna consciousness. So Swarup Damodara Maharaj, Sripad Maharaj, was certainly a very great preacher, a bold preacher. Single-handedly, he went back to his native Manipur, Imphal. And in Imphal, the capital of Manipur, he established the Krishna Consciousness Movement. He built a wonderful center there. And he took Vedic culture all over the world with the Manipuri artists and the martial artists of Manipur. They performed here in Singapore. Probably many of you have witnessed their performance. So in this way, he made very great preaching contribution by showing people the wonderful culture which was there in the Vedic times. And taking great efforts to build a big temple there in Manipur where there's a lot of social problem, a lot of Christianity was being propagated. Many Hindus were converted to Christians. It's a very difficult field. Single-handedly, he was doing this work. And at the same time, he was also organizing scientific conferences, inviting great famous scholars and authors to come and present papers at scientific conferences. The very first scientific conference, well, the very first one actually in the very beginning took place while Prabhupada was still on the planet in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was so pleased. He gloried. He said, one other devotee was thinking that Prabhupada was talking about book distribution when he was talking about how wonderful this preaching work is. He thought, oh, you mean the book distribution, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, no, not the book distribution, the scientific preaching, preaching to these scientists. He said, this is wonderful, this is revolutionary. Prabhupada was appreciating how difficult it was and how the pioneering mood had to be there in order to do this work. So he empowered Sripad Maharaj to establish this Bhaktivedanta Institute and to preach to all these different scientists, to give them some knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So Sripad Maharaj, then he organized one more festival in Juhu, and he invited Dalai Lama also to come. Dalai Lama did not know anything about Krishna consciousness, but still he agreed to come and attend the conference because he saw it was a very prestigious event with many important people from all over the world. They all came to Bombay, to Mumbai, and they visited our ISKCON temple, and they saw the deities and everything. So many big professors, scholars, they were all brought to attend these conferences. And our own devotees also would take part. So Swarup Damodar, Sripad Maharaj, I said, he was very intimate to Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually trained him in Krishna consciousness. There was an instance one time, quite amusing. Businessman had come to Mayapur, and Prabhupada was meeting this man. Prabhupada would sometimes meet with the life members, with the guests. You know, if Prabhupada was there, then they would naturally be interested to meet the Swamiji. So Prabhupada met this one man, and he asked the man, what kind of business do you have? And the man said, well, I have a glass factory. And so then Prabhupada was inquiring from him about how do you make the glass, where do you get the materials? And he was saying, well, we have to get silicone, and from sand we make this silicone. And so Prabhupada was saying, yes, who gives you the sand, where do you get the sand? And the man was saying, well, we have a sand quarry, we have a sand mine. But Prabhupada was saying, yes, but whose sand is it? And then the man went on and said, well, Swamiji, yes, everything belongs to God. He understood Prabhupada's point. Then he admitted that everything belongs to God. So Sripad Maharaj was in Prabhupada's room at this time. So Prabhupada turned to him and he said to Sripad Maharaj, he said, do you hear? He said, everything belongs to God and he is taking the sand. So Sripad Maharaj immediately said, he's a thief, Prabhupada, he's a thief. So then Prabhupada turned to the man and said, he says you are a thief. So Prabhupada had trained Sripad Maharaj in this way, you know, that he would recognize. Another time in USA, Prabhupada met one professor of Hinduism. He had come to visit Prabhupada at the temple in Philadelphia. And the professor had come into Prabhupada's room, so Prabhupada asked him, he said, what is this Hinduism? And the professor said, well, I don't know what Hinduism. So Prabhupada turned to Sripad Maharaj and says, do you hear what he said? He is a professor of Hinduism and he does not know what Hinduism is. Sripad immediately said, he's a cheater, Prabhupada, he's a cheater. So Prabhupada, you know, he had personally trained Swarup Damodar Maharaj in this way, you know, to be an instrument in his service, to expose these people and their dealings and how they're misleading society in their so-called knowledge and in the name of scientific progress. They simply take people into the darkest regions of hell, simply to take miserable birds and animal species of life. This is guaranteed if we go against the laws of God. we cannot expect any good situation. There can be no auspiciousness. So Krishna consciousness is to make our life auspicious. We have to understand that it is not all one. It is not that, oh, everybody's happy, everyone's enjoying. There are higher and lower levels of life. And we are all placed in different situations according to our activities. When we act according to the laws of the Lord, then we can be elevated. And when we act against the laws of the Lord, then we are degraded. We are put into miserable conditions. We are put into the animal species of life where we are controlled very strictly. In the animal body, there is great control over their activities. They don't have that independence which the human form of life enjoys. So human form of life is the responsibility. This is the place where we're earning our karma. And according to how we live and act in this body, then we're punished or rewarded. It is our choice. We have that free will. So, for everyone, it's difficult. Prabhupada uses this karshati, struggle for existence. We speak about the struggle for existence and the survival of the fittest. So we have to understand what to struggle for. That if we have solved the problem of eating and sleeping, we still have to solve the problem of birth and death. We know that we have to meet death. Sometimes people would say that now the situation in the world is improving. People are living longer. But Prabhupada said the death rate remains the same. The death rate is 100%. Everyone has to die. No one can say, I'm not going to die. That is there for everyone. But intelligent people will prepare for that. They will prepare for the next life. So the Vedic system arranges for that scientifically. Preparing to detach ourselves from this material world. Varnashram is there. There are four ashrams in life. Brahmacharya, meaning celibate, student life. In the beginning, we get our education, we go to school, we go on to college, and you maybe in Singapore, you go to the army for a little while. You know, this is all your education, you know. And then after that, then you get married, and you live in Grihastha life, and you have some children, you have a home. But you have to also move on to the next ashram. The Vanaprastha stage, where retired life is there, that is compulsory. The Vedas say, panchasodvam vanam brajet. From the age of 50, one is meant to begin to prepare for the next life. We have to recognize that we're getting older, death is coming soon. We have to be ready. How to get ready? We have to absorb ourselves in Krishna conscious activities. So it takes some time. Prabhupada recommends 15, 20 years. If we have to die when we get to 70 or 80, then from 50 or 60, you have to begin preparing. We have to prepare. Bhagavad Gita is reminding us of this. We have to utilize our time to develop our attachment for Krishna and to give up the attachment for the worldly affairs. Not just simply working the whole life to make more money, to put more money in the bank, to get the children married and to buy a home to give the children and to have money for the everything, for the grandchildren and everything. You know, that's, you know, you have to, at a certain point, you have to stop all that. And you have to concentrate on the real business to save your own soul. Not just to worry about others, but save ourselves first. Paratapumi kya haila manusya janma. Janma sartaka kari kara paraupaka. First we become Krishna conscious, and then we try to make others also Krishna conscious. If we are not Krishna conscious ourselves, how can we make others Krishna conscious? Example is very important. The Acharya principle. We have to teach by example. In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear Lord Krishna speak about the self-realized soul, that he has no duty to perform, but he's engaged in activities. Why? Because he has to show an example to others. He's engaging in activities. Krishna gives example. He said, just like Janak Maharaj, he was self-realized, he's one of the Mahajans. He had no duty to perform, but for the sake of teaching others by his example, he is engaged in activities. And then Lord Krishna gives himself as an example, that I am also engaged in activities for the sake of teaching others. Because if I did not engage in activities, then the whole world would follow me, and the whole world would be put to ruination. So for the sake of teaching others, devotees have to show that example. Devotional service, by devotional service, we automatically develop knowledge and detachment. Detachment from whatever is not in relation to Krishna consciousness. And knowledge about the body and the soul, the knower of the body. So this is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We will stop. We will like to ask if there are any questions. Yes, Guru.
When the person, like, I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong, we fell down from the spiritual world. And do we start from the bottom up?
No. You fall, usually the fall takes place, you come into the higher plane. You may be even Lord Brahma when you first fall. You may take the position of Lord Brahma. It is sometimes explained like that. That our first birth, once we come from the spiritual world, we take birth as Lord Brahma. I haven't seen it, but I've heard this. I haven't seen this in Prabhupada's books, but some people have said this. I'm still looking for the proof. Sometimes it's so. Usually, you know, you're not going to enter into the bottom, into the lowest species of life, but you go in the higher planets, in the planets of the devas, and descend from there. Yes, Prabhu?
Sometimes being in kind of isolation that when we are in fact explained that when we decide, in fact Krishna tells us not to go, there is misery everywhere in the material world, and we say that it is in your interest, but it is explained that the man wants to be the master of his own destiny, he wants to control, so therefore Krishna gives him a different world. You cannot be a controller here, you go to the material world. And the question here is that doesn't he in his spiritual form see that everybody is there suffering? Why does he still decide that he has to go and become a master? Because it's an obvious move, and he can see from there that everybody is suffering. Why does he still decide that he has to be there?
Well, he obviously doesn't see that everyone's suffering. That, you know, and if you ask people even here in this world, you know, people generally won't admit that they're suffering. There was an instance of this. We saw that one time the devotee's mother came to meet Prabhupada. And she came in, she was talking, and thought, oh, it's so hot, the traffic is so bad, the city's so polluted. And Prabhupada began to speak about suffering. Yes, material life is suffering. But she immediately argued, no, no, I'm not suffering, no, no. You know, so, you know, this is the nature of conditioned life. That even though, you know, you may say there's suffering, people won't accept there's suffering. Say, I'm happy. What do you mean suffering? What are you talking about? No. People don't like to admit that they're suffering.
At that time they are in a liberated state. In a condition like we may not accept that we are suffering.
Yeah.
At the time we take a decision that we want to come there, we're not in a conditioned state.
Well, we take the decision is we want to be, you know, we want to be independent. We want to have our independence from Krishna. We don't like the idea, you know, there's a little feeling that, you know, why Krishna? Why always Krishna? There's the rebellious mood comes into, you know, the rebellious mood. And because we have the rebellious mood, so immediately we come into this world. But it's not that we're thinking they're suffering. Not that we're thinking they're suffering. It's just a rebellious nature towards Krishna. So because of the rebellious nature, because we're against Krishna, we immediately come into this world. But we're not thinking they're suffering here. We come into this world to enjoy. Everyone is coming. You know, we're all thinking to enjoy. The cat is enjoying, the dog is enjoying, the fish in the sea are enjoying. You know, they're all thinking, you know, they're enjoying.
Sometimes Maharaj's explanation doesn't go down very well. It's explained that when you're there, actually everybody is fully happy in whatever potential they are serving Krishna. So how is it that suddenly this thought comes? I mean, there have been explanations like this. If you try to connect, then somehow the explanation
falls. You mean you don't feel so happy in serving Krishna?
No, when we say that actually when we are back there, everybody is so happy in serving Krishna.
Then why would we leave?
Yeah, there's
yeah.
Something which doesn't go down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the mystery, right? That's the most difficult thing to understand, right? Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, said that that's the most difficult thing to understand. Why we would leave the spiritual world to come here. So he said, try to understand the easiest thing, how to go back. You understand how to go back. You know? How we came here, you know, that's very difficult to understand. But we are tatastha shakti. We're marginal. You know, we're not the superior spiritual energy, we're tatastha, we're marginal by nature. So we have that independence that at any moment we can desire. Just like life in Singapore may seem very nice, you know, everybody's happy, you know, but somebody wants to go back, I don't know, I want to go back to, you know, Malaysia, or I want to go back to India or China. You know, you have that free will. Sometimes you're in a place, you don't always appreciate something. You can't always appreciate the advantages of some place in relation to other places. That's just due to our tatastha, our marginal nature, that we can fall under that material energy. So we can't deny the nature. Krishna has to give us that free will. Because if he doesn't, then there's no question of love. If he forces us, if we have no free will, where is the love? You tell the woman, love me or else. You have to love me. You know, that's not love and force. So if Krishna forces us to keep us in this world, there's no love. Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. He's directing their wanderings. Why are people still doing sins? Krishna is telling them from the heart, don't do this, don't do this, this is not good, don't do it, it's not right, it's irreligious. But still were they, no, I want. Sometimes the father will tell the son, don't smoke, it's not a good habit, it's dirty, it's not good for your health, you waste your money. But still, no, I want to do it. What can the father do? The son grows up, he's got free will. So Krishna's also acting, he's a well-wisher of everyone, but he has to ultimately give that independence. So we're here in this material world. We know that Krishna is telling us how we can go back. But if you're there, how did I get here? You know, I find, yeah. We'll never understand that. You just understand how to get out. So Sri Pad Maharaj was a visitor here in Singapore. So we were fortunate, you were all fortunate to have him visit here in Singapore. He gave mercy here, initiated several devotees here. He brought the Manipuri artists here. So on this day, we also remember him and his wonderful contribution to Srila Prabhupada. He left the world also in a very glorious way. Just a few months before he departed from the world, there was a bombing incident in his temple in Manipur. On the day of Janmashtami, there was a very big crowd and someone threw a bomb and some people died. Sripad Maharaj was also injured. But it didn't stop him. It didn't stop his preaching. He continued to preach boldly. He went forward, and a few months later, not due to the injuries, but he suffered a heart attack. But at that time, he was very absorbed in thinking of Krishna's rasa lila. One of the devotees who was serving him at the time described how he was listening to a lot of traditional Manipuri music glorifying Krishna's rasa lila, and he was very much absorbed in that pastime when he departed from the world. So certainly he attained a very exalted position in the spiritual world, in the association of Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, and we thank him for his wonderful example of Krishna consciousness and his bold and selfless preaching on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya. Sripad Maharaj ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.